and welcome to the JW Review. My name is Mike Felker, and we are looking at the study article titled Keep Following Jehovah's Guidance from the February 2024 Watchtower Study Edition. And this is the study article that will be looked at in all Kingdom Halls everywhere on April 29th. So if you're watching this, you're going to see this article being studied pretty soon. And I'm really curious about some of these things that will be said in the Kingdom Hall. So if since I can't necessarily be a fly on the wall, I would love to hear about your experiences of the meeting when this article is being read and discussed. So this is really just another way of the governing body to reassert their authority, which they have to do on the regular for various reasons. So there is a lot to discuss here. So let's jump right in and let's read the key text here. And that is Isaiah 48:17. Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Yahweh your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. So it is Yahweh who is leading. Let's make that clear. So let's just start out on paragraph 2. We're not going to read this entire article, but we're going to read a good bit of it. How does Jehovah guide us? Primarily, by means of his written word, the Bible. However, so there's there's a but there. We can't just leave it there. And also, we can't even mention the Holy Spirit. We can't say that Jehovah guides us through his written word by means of the Holy Spirit to apply his word to our lives. No, we can't just say that and leave it there. No, we have to put that but there or the however. And I just knew when I saw the title of this article where it's going. And I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but I knew that where this one was headed when I was reading it. So, however, he also uses human representatives. Of course, they're going to say that. For example, he uses the faithful and discreet slave to provide spiritual food that helps us make wise decisions. But what happens when that quote-unquote faithful slave leads you to make bad decisions? Because what they are teaching you is not actually true. I'm sure many of you who have lived nearly a lifetime in this organization could provide some very specific examples. And not just from 1975, where they were essentially just commending people for selling their homes and all these other things that are life-altering decisions because they were confident that the end was going to come in 1975. And it turns out those decisions were not really that wise. But again, many of you probably have some other examples of your own that you could share with us here. Jehovah also uses other capable men to guide us, for example, circuit overseers and congregation elders provide encouragement and instruction that can help us get through difficult times. How grateful we are for reliable guidance during these critical last days. It helps us maintain Jehovah's approval and keeps us on the road to life. So in other words, no matter what the governing body is telling you, you are to view that as reliable guidance, and you must obey it if you want to have Jehovah's approval. So even when the governing body is bringing their own ideas into things, and saying things that are wrong, making you do things that have no biblical basis whatsoever, I'm talking on the micromanaging kind of level. And just to take the recent examples, counting your preaching hours. How long or if at all can you have facial hair? Women wearing pants? The list goes on and on. Those are just some of the recent examples. So to maintain Jehovah's approval, you must obey these men even when they are teaching you the traditions of men. You still must obey them if you want Jehovah's approval. Paragraph 3. Even so, we might occasionally find it a challenge to follow Jehovah's guidance. Okay, if we just left it there, okay, there are certainly some things that might be really challenging to be faithful to God's word. For example, you might be working a job that is requiring you to compromise your beliefs in some way, and so you follow God rather than men, right? Okay, things can be hard. But look at what they say, especially when it is conveyed by imperfect men. It's a challenge to follow Jehovah's guidance, especially. Why is it especially when it's conveyed by imperfect men? Why would they say that? Why especially when it's conveyed by imperfect men? Well, we all know the reason for that. It's because these imperfect men are teaching you their own ideas that admittedly can't be found in Scripture. And so they're their own ideas. So yeah, when they're teaching you their own ideas and requiring you to obey them, even when those ideas don't make sense, even when those ideas can't be found in God's Word, yeah, those are going to be especially challenging. Well said, Watchtower. They continue on. Why? The council may conflict with our likes and dislikes. Well, okay, what about the fact that the council may conflict with the Word of God? What about that? What about the next change to the meaning of this generation? It's getting just wilder and wilder and just more and more just nonsensical with overlapping generations. So it's not that I don't like or dislike the this generation teaching. It's that it's nonsensical and it can't be found in God's Word. Or we might feel that the direction we receive is unwise and conclude that the counsel must not be from Jehovah. You might actually get unwise counsel from the elders or even the governing body to where you say to yourself, this must not be from Jehovah. And why would you say that? Well, you would hopefully say that because you opened up your Bible and you couldn't find that teaching there. Simple as that. But look at how they continue. At times, we especially need confidence that Jehovah is the one leading his people, and that following his guidance results in blessings. You see what they did here? They just basically threw this bomb out at you that you're going to get unwise counsel that you know is not from Jehovah. They're saying that, and then they just leave it at that. They don't say, well, how do I work that out? Am I supposed to obey things that are unwise? Where does the Bible say to do that? Is there anywhere in the Bible where it says that you are given unwise guidance and you must obey it? unbelievable. So they don't even reconcile this dilemma. They know you're thinking it. That's why they're saying it. But you're just supposed to obey and just let that one slide. Sweep that one under the rug. Don't think about that one too hard. Unwise counsel. Things that conflict with God's word or may not be from Jehovah. Sweep that under the rug. Don't think about it anymore. They're bringing it up because you're thinking it, but they're not going to resolve that for you. All right, paragraph 4. All right, and I also knew they were going here. How could they not? Because they're going to have to go through history, not just the organization's history. They will do some of that here in a little bit. But they have to go through biblical history to show how Jehovah was guiding the Israelites or guiding the first century Christian congregation. I knew they were going to go there, and I knew they're going to be paralleling that to today with the governing body and all of Jehovah's Witnesses. I knew they were going to go there. But look at this, the places I highlighted. So if you're listening to this in podcast, you're not going to see this. But they start out with the nation of Israel and Moses, and they talk about I'll read the first two sentences of paragraph 4. Jehovah appointed Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, and he gave the Israelites visible evidence that he was guiding them by means of Moses. And then they talk about these various visible evidences. So one is that pillar of cloud by day, fire by night, the parting of the Red Sea. And then Jehovah speaking to Moses. And so the paragraph ends with the Israelites had ample evidence that Jehovah was using Moses to guide them. Amen and amen. Visible evidence. Moses was a prophet. He could communicate Jehovah's words. He could write inspired scripture. So amen and amen. Visible evidence. And then in paragraph 6, it talks about clear proof that Jehovah was using Moses as his representative. And this may not surprise you, but they're going to start talking about the clear evidences that Jehovah is using the governing body. After talking about visible miracles and that proof, then they go to the governing body who can't perform miracles, who can't write inspired scripture, who makes mistakes, so on and so forth. But yet, it's still clear that Jehovah is using them. So we're going to check out some of that evidence here in a moment. So in paragraph 8, it says, it should have been obvious to all that Jehovah was using his prophets to guide his people. And they list a couple of examples, like Nathan, the prophet, and others. And again, I say to that, amen, clear evidence. These were inspired prophets, right? So, okay, great, we're still good. Now we get to paragraph 9, and this is where we can't exactly say amen anymore, even though they are talking about the first century congregation. So let's read paragraph 9. It says, in the first century CE, Jehovah formed the Christian congregation. How did he guide those early Christians? He appointed Jesus as head of the congregation. Ephesians 5:23. So let's check that out. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. And 24, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. So, Christ is the head of the Christian congregation, yes and amen. They continue. But Jesus did not personally direct each individual disciple. Okay, what exactly do they mean by that? Jesus did not personally direct each individual disciple. So I guess what they're saying here is that after Jesus had been resurrected, made all of his appearances, right? That the disciples didn't just have like they couldn't just pick up a phone and call Jesus and get their next direction. But if you read through the book of Acts, you would find that the Holy Spirit indeed was directing the people. So you could see that all throughout the book of Acts. But I think what they're trying to say here is that they just couldn't pick up a phone call and ask Jesus for a direction, and then Jesus told them exactly what to do. They couldn't do that for every decision. Sometimes that sort of thing happened, not with the phone, but Jesus would communicate right or through the Holy Spirit. So all that's fine and well. But we have Jesus's word, and in the first century they had Jesus's words. They had inspired scripture, more specifically. It wasn't immediately to where all Christians had the Christian scriptures. They actually had, get this, so what is, let me just ask you, the audience, a question. What was the Bible of the early church? It was actually the Greek Septuagint. That was the Bible of the early church. And it took some time for Paul's letters to circulate. Those were the earliest ones. And then the Gospels were written. So not everyone had all of that. But at some point, many of them would have at least some of those. But that was the guidance. That is the direction of Christ by means of the Holy Spirit through His Word, communicating His will to the life of every believer. So if you didn't have all of the Christian scriptures, and you wanted to know what the will of God is for your life, what do? You don't go to this governing body to find out. You open up the Bible that you have, which was the Greek Septuagint. So that is how Christians were guided. So the non-apostles, Christian, just rank and file, everyday Christian, right? The Romans, the Corinthians, they had the Greek Septuagint. That's what they used for their life, to find out what God's will was for their life. But Watchtower, what they have to do here is insert the governing body into the picture. So they say, he used the apostles and the older men in Jerusalem to take the lead. Also, elders were appointed to guide the congregation. Acts chapter 15, which is what they're citing here, we've gone through this many, many, many times. Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council, was not the norm. It was not the norm. This was a special council that was formed to resolve a controversy. It was not an established church office. It was not, and there's no evidence that it was. It was simply a council. It was not the norm, but what the Watchtower is doing is trying to parallel that, trying to find anything they can find to prove that the governing body is a valid biblical concept. Paragraph 10, how did the first century Christians respond? The majority were glad to follow the instructions they received. In fact, they rejoiced over the encouragement they were given. So again, this was one specific example of a council to resolve a controversy. It wasn't the norm. It wasn't the norm. So here they go. How has Jehovah been guiding his people in more recent times? So here we go. Paragraph 11. Jehovah continues to lead his people today. He continues to. So you see this massive leap. Now what you'll find, if you look at paragraph 9, they're not talking about the inspired apostles writing inspired scripture. You don't have that there. And what better guide would that have been to insert or at least get into that, to show that once Christians had these letters from Paul or had the Gospels or the other epistles, right? What did that look like? How are Christians guided once they had those? So, you know, they had the Greek Septuagint, but they would eventually get more to give them even more guidance. Why couldn't they bring that up here? So what they do is they take this big leap from a time where you actually had inspired prophets to today, Watchtower doesn't claim they have any. Yet they're making the parallel. So he continues to lead his people today, even though there aren't any inspired apostles, according to them. He has been doing so by means of his word and his son, the head of the congregation. Great. Can we leave it at that? Nope. Can we see evidence that God has also continued to use human representatives? So here we go. Just review what we just saw. The clear, visible evidence that Jehovah was guiding his people through men like Moses. Great. We see the evidence there. We see the other prophets mentioned. They should have brought in the visible evidence of the first century apostles. We'll just leave that one to the side. But hey, there's some good evidence there too. But and now we get to the evidence that God is using the governing body. Will we see equally compelling evidence? Well, all right, let's take a look. They say yes. Now, this paragraph is a flat-out lie. I don't say that often, but this paragraph is blatantly dishonest. It's a lie. It's dishonest. They say, consider, for example, certain developments that took place in the late 1800s. What developments are they talking about? Why not have a little footnote to honestly tell us about what was going on and what was being said? Nope, we don't get that. Charles Taze Russell and his associates began to discern that the year 1914 would mark a turning point regarding the establishment of God's kingdom. So you're just calling it a turning point. Oh, Charles Taze Russell, he was just talking about a turning point in 1914. Right. Totally dishonest retelling of the history. In reaching that conclusion, they depended on Bible prophecy. Really? Really? Just humor me here, Jehovah's Witnesses, if any of you are watching. And I know that some of you are. I know that you are. Tell me what Bible prophecies Charles Taze Russell was depending on to prove what he said was going to happen in 1914. What Bible prophecies? Please enlighten me. I am dead serious. Please tell me. But that, you know, that wasn't all that he was relying on. Didn't he have some interest in the pyramids? Or so was it only Bible prophecy that he was relying on? Was Jehovah guiding their research? Their Bible research? Was Jehovah guiding it? He certainly was. Okay, let me get this straight. Jehovah was guiding Charles Taze Russell's research to show that the end of the world was going to happen in 1914. It's like they just threw Jehovah under the bus here for guiding Charles Taze Russell's false doctrines about what was going to happen in 1914. Okay, they're saying Jehovah's guiding it. In 1914, world events confirmed that God's kingdom had begun to rule. Now, why is that? Why would that have anything to do with the fact that God's kingdom was starting to rule right at that time? Why exactly would a war prove that God's kingdom is beginning to rule? Why exactly? Now, what they say here next is World War I broke out, followed by pestilences, earthquakes, and food shortages. Haven't those always been around? So, how does that prove that God's kingdom began to rule in 1914? Because some wars, and they started measuring earthquakes in recent decades from that time. But those have always been around. Pestilences, too. Jehovah was indeed using those sincere Christian men to help his people. Help his people with what? To expect the end of the world in 1914 and to be sorely disappointed by that? Now, paragraph 12, I didn't have time to research this. I'll go ahead and read the first part of it. Consider, too, what happened during World War II. After a study of Revelation 17:8, responsible brothers at World Headquarters discerned that the war would lead not to Armageddon, but to a period of relative peace that would open opportunities for increased preaching activity. So even though the move may have seemed impractical at the time. Then they say in paragraph 13, looking back, we can clearly see that Jehovah was guiding his people during that difficult time. Since World War II, Jehovah's people in many lands have enjoyed a measure of peace and freedom while carrying out the preaching work. In fact, the work has flourished. Okay, I don't know the history behind their conclusions on Revelation 17:8, but here's what I do know. There was nothing particularly special about what the Jehovah's Witnesses were doing in terms of evangelism. Now, I'll tell you what would be special. If practically all of Christendom, if I can use that word, if all of Christendom, except for Jehovah's Witnesses, had shut down their evangelism efforts to where they're just like, okay, this world war's happening, there's no hope left, we're just going to turn in and stop, right? But the Jehovah's Witnesses, oh, they knew this wasn't the end. They are going to continue. They knew that there would be peace. They knew that they would be able to flourish with their preaching activity. Now, that would be pretty interesting, I would say. But is that what happened? Not to my knowledge. I don't have any knowledge to confirm that all the major evangelism ministries had like somehow ceased because of what they were predicting was going to happen because of the war. Now, the war may just cause an organization to like cease functioning. I mean, if you were in certain parts of Europe, I mean, your head office could have like gotten exploded from a bomb, and you know, you may have to like cease your operations. But aside from those kind of circumstances, at least evangelism ministries that were around and maybe not directly around the battlegrounds, is there any evidence that they were stopping their preaching work? So what makes Jehovah's Witnesses special? Because remember, this is the evidence that they're showing us. This is the clear evidence that Jehovah is using them and no one else. It is them and them alone. And these are the best evidences, people. These are the best evidences. The failed prophecy of 1914, and then they decided to keep on evangelizing even though the war was happening and even though a bunch of other missionary organizations were probably still moving along doing what they were doing. What's so special about the Jehovah's Witnesses here? Look at this in this box up at the top on page 24. Why some have rejected clear evidence. Okay, why do you think I'm rejecting the evidence? Why? Well, let's see what this paragraph says, because it's going to tell all of you why me, Mike Felker, is rejecting the clear evidence. Why have some rejected clear evidence that Jehovah is using human representatives to guide his people, I mean specifically the governing body? In many cases, it has been because of selfish motives. Okay, so let me get this straight. I am doubting the governing body as God's representatives on earth today. I'm doubting them because I'm selfish. Okay. All right. They continue at the very end. It says, on the other hand, humble ones with heartfelt love of truth have seen the powerful evidence that Jehovah is using appointed men to guide his people. So we have clear and powerful evidence. And if you reject it, it's probably because you're selfish. No matter how good your reasons are for rejecting it, oh, Watchtower says, it's from selfish motives. Okay. It's like you almost don't even, like, there's almost nothing to respond to there because that's so absurd. That's just so absurd. anyone can say that. You know, anytime you make an argument about anything, you could always just tell that person, oh, you're disagreeing with me because you're selfish. I mean, personally, I find that to be extremely immature and quite frankly, lazy. Rather than trying to reason with somebody, instead of just telling them they're selfish, they're rejecting it because they're selfish, which is actually, as far as logical fallacies go, that's an ad hominem attack. Paragraph 14. Today, the members of the governing body continue to look to Christ for guidance. They want the instructions they give to the brothers to reflect heaven's view of the matters. Really? Really? In turn, circuit overseers and elders provide direction to the congregations. Anointed elders are in Christ's right hand. Of course, these elders are imperfect and make mistakes. Underline that and circle it. They look for Christ, look to Christ for guidance. They want to have heaven's view on the matter, and they make mistakes. What else do they say? To receive Jehovah's blessing, you must obey them. Everything, all of it. If they're putting it in print, you obey it if you want Jehovah's approval. Footnote. Footnote. Obey it even when it's wrong. There's your footnote. It's not here in the article, but they should put that there. Look at what they say after this. Moses and Joshua erred at times, as did the apostles. Still, Christ is carefully guiding the faithful slave and the appointed elders, and he will continue to do so all the days until the conclusion of this system of things. So, oh, look at that. Moses and the early apostles, yeah, they made mistakes. The governing body makes mistakes too. You should still follow them anyway. Where does the Bible say any of that? Where does it say any of that? Besides, Moses and the apostles, they could perform miracles. There was clear, visible evidence that God was certainly with them. And they could write inspired, God-breathed scriptures. The governing body can't. They're fallible, error-prone men who teach the doctrines of men. So you could even assume the best of intentions with the governing body. But there is still no biblical basis that you are supposed to follow everything that they teach because they make mistakes. Paragraph 18. No doubt Jehovah will continue to use human representatives to provide guidance during the Great Tribulation and on into the thousand-year reign. So it's not going to end with Armageddon. You're still going to have to follow these men. Well, they're going to be resurrected spirit creatures in heaven. You're supposed to follow them in some way. Don't know how that's going to work, but that's what they're told to do. We will keep following that direction, even when doing so requires setting aside our personal preferences. So whether you like it or not, obey that governing body. Even if it's wrong, even if it's unbiblical, even if it's unwise. Get in line and obey. Much may depend on how we respond to the guidance that Jehovah is providing now. Much may depend on that. That's why they're saying this kind of thing. When things don't make sense now, oh, wait till you get to the Great Tribulation. When that governing body is not around, you're on your own. Oh, then you're really going to be tested because things ain't going to make any more sense than they are now at that time. Therefore, let us always follow Jehovah's guidance, including that which is provided by the men who are appointed to watch over us. So, which is it? Is Jehovah always guiding these men, or is he not? They make mistakes, so is Jehovah making mistakes when he's guiding them to make those mistakes? What? How do you work this out? Well, you can't. That's why it doesn't actually matter what the truth is for Jehovah's Witnesses. What matters is your obedience and following whatever these men say. Your salvation depends on it. So we're wrapping it up there. I would love to hear your thoughts. Please leave your thoughts down in the comments below. I love hearing from all of you. Feel free, please, to interact with one another so we can all learn from each other. If you want to support this, please hit the subscribe button, the thumbs up. All of that really helps the algorithm so this podcast or this YouTube channel will get recognized when people are searching for videos related to Jehovah's Witnesses. We're also on Apple Podcasts. Please leave me a review there, 5 stars preferably. We're also on the other podcast platform, so check us out there if you don't want to watch the video. Another way to support this is sharing this content. And lastly, if you want to support this financially to help me keep the lights on, there's a Patreon link below to become a monthly supporter. I don't know what the next review will be. We will have to see. I did see that at the end of this, there's a question from the readers about the Bible revealing, or what does the Bible reveal about Jehovah's ability to foretell the future, which I call the selective foreknowledge view, which is quite fascinating. So I might review that. I'm not sure. We'll just have to see. It'll probably be 2 weeks before the next podcast that's currently on the schedule that I'm on. I'm one day going to hopefully get back to every week. But until then, hope you all have a great week, and we will see you next time. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.